The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. Our message today is entitled, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. In this day when we're facing so many difficulties, so many challenges, that fear grips the heart of so many, there's no better place for us to be than at the feet of Jesus. I pray that this message will be a comfort to you, and I would certainly appreciate it if you would take time to write us, if you can help us with the support of this work. The need is especially great at the present time. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. And I invite you to visit our website at baptistbiblehour.org. I encourage you to read the blog and also to look at the articles and other items that we have available to you there. It's interesting as we read the life of Jesus as recorded in the four Gospels and see the many unique experiences where he met with people in public places, where he talked to individuals, where he spoke to large crowds, and where he visited in homes. One of those special visits was in the home of Mary and Martha. We want to turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10 and read about that visit. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. What a blessing. What a special place. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. First, we think about what that posture reveals. She had a humble spirit. She's sitting down at his feet. This wasn't something that was required. She willingly occupied that place. She felt to be close to Jesus, to be in his presence. The best place for her was at his feet. It showed a desire to learn. She was there, it says, to hear the words that Jesus spoke. She recognized that Jesus spoke with authority. He was no ordinary man. He was unique. At a later time, she made a clear confession that she recognized him to be the Son of God. And so she wanted to learn. She was there to hear, to believe, and to obey his teaching. She considered it be such a privilege to sit at Jesus' feet. She didn't want anything to interfere. So while Martha, her sister, was busy in the kitchen, Mary found it to be more important to hear what Jesus had to say, to take advantage of this special visitor in her home. How often do you allow interferences to disrupt time that you should spend at Jesus' feet? There are other attractions, other interests, other things that demand your attention, and you give in to them. And while you know it's important to sit at Jesus' feet, little time is spent there. Obviously, we do not have the privilege of seeing him physically and sit at his feet as did Mary. But in faith, we can come to his word. We can hear words that he has already spoken and pray that the Spirit of God will apply them to our hearts. This posture speaks of humility, of submission, of a desire to learn. And then we think about the benefits. What are the benefits that are received? What are the benefits we can receive by sitting at Jesus' feet? She was learning the importance of dependence upon him. And we need to learn that over and over again. We all readily concede that we are weak and needy and we must depend upon him. And yet sometimes we forget. We begin to lean on the arm of the flesh. We begin to depend on our own wisdom. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. That's very clear, isn't it? We can do nothing that is worthwhile, nothing that is God-honoring, nothing that is beneficial without him.
So if we chart a course without consulting him, we take off in a direction without looking for his guidance. We undertake a task in our own strength and we're not dependent upon him. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so we have to learn from experience, as well as the declaration that is here clearly in his word. Without him, we can do nothing. You can become frustrated because you've tried to embark upon a project that seemed worthwhile. You've tried to make some changes in your life that you knew needed to be changed, but you got nowhere because you failed to remember without him, you can do nothing. Must be a time of learning, sitting at Jesus' feet before going. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Yes, there is work to be done. There is service to be rendered. There are places to go. In Matthew 28:19, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Discipleship is important. That involves not just learning, but it involves activity. It means that we have a role to play in ministering to others, seeking to lift up those that are cast down, seeking to encourage those that need encouragement. But first, we must learn. You can't encourage somebody correctly if you don't know what to say. Sometimes people think they're ministering to a person when all they're doing is quoting some trite phrases that they've picked up in the world. If you're going to be a blessing, if you're going to really help somebody, it needs to be on the basis of what God's word teaches. And so there must be a time of learning before you go. A time to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before you can effectively minister to others. Furthermore, sitting at Jesus' feet, you learn about real love. That word is used in a broad sense in our culture, much of the time with a connotation that is far removed what genuine love really is. Jesus says in John 13:1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end." Now there is genuine love. Think of how patient Jesus was with his disciples. They so many times misunderstood. They so many times came to the wrong conclusion, said the wrong thing, but he loved them to the end. Even after Peter had denied him, he showed his continued love for him. Aren't you glad that he loves you even when you have failed? Where would any of us be today if his love was withdrawn because we had sinned and come short, we had failed? His love is not such that he condones our sin, approves of it, casually overlooks it. But when we have sinned, we can come to the throne of grace and find forgiveness and cleansing and to know that he continues to love us. Now, this is where we learn about genuine love. In contrast to the fact that God continues to love us even when we have failed, if somebody disappoints us or does something that we disagree with, we have a tendency to write them off. "Well, I'm through with that person. They hurt my feelings. They overlooked me. They didn't show me the right attention. They didn't demonstrate that they really cared about me. I thought that they were my friend, but they've disappointed me, and so you're finished." Not so with Jesus. in spite of your failure, he loves you. And that's the kind of love we are to have. The 34th verse of that same chapter, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you." So just as he loved his disciples to the end, loved them fully, completely, and without withdrawing it, in the same manner we are to love one another. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Look at that. Three times in that one verse, he says, love one another. You can't miss the point. You can't say, "I'm not sure what this text means. You know, I know there's some hard texts in the Bible, but this is not one of them. This may be hard to practice, but it's not hard to understand. I'm giving you a commandment that you love one another, and you love one another as I have loved you, that you also do what? Love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples," that what? That you love one another. Genuine love. When you're at the feet of Jesus, there is no bitterness. There's no fault finding. There's no judgmental spirit. There's no complaining. Oh, how important that we sit at the feet of Jesus, learning about real love. Love others as he loved us. And you might say, "Well, some people are hard to love." But don't you think when our holy heavenly Father looks on us, he might well say, "We're a hard case." But he loves us. And he proved that love by giving his son to die for us. And then as you sit at the feet of Jesus, you not only learn about real love, you learn to have compassion. There was a lawyer that came to Jesus and said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "What's written in the law?" The man knew the law. His answer was, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, heart, soul, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself." And no doubt, even as he quoted it, he must have felt some guilt and knew that he did not meet the mark. So he says, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And the scriptures specifically say he made that statement in order to justify himself. Like, this lets me off the hook. I don't even know who my neighbor is. How could I be held accountable for this high standard? So then Jesus relates the story of the man who was robbed and beaten and left half dead on the highway. Now he said, the priest comes along. And you might expect, all right, this man is in God's service. It's certainly a blessing that he comes along the road at this time when this man is in such great need. But the priest doesn't stop. He passes him by. He may have thought, I've got an important meeting to attend. I can't take time to try to help this man who's in such dire need. I've got to go about other things. And then the Levite comes. Surely now this man will minister to this poor soul who has been beaten up and left half dead. But he passes by. And then the Samaritan comes. An unlikely individual to be the one who would minister to this need. But the Samaritan comes and binds up his wounds, takes him to the inn, pays the bill, tells the innkeeper, "If there are any other charges, I'll pay them when I come back." What compassion. This man may have had a busy schedule, but he stopped because here was a poor soul who was half dead. He desperately needed help. He couldn't help himself, and the Samaritan showed compassion, met his needs, paid the bill. So then Jesus asked the lawyer, which one was the neighbor? And of course, he had to concede it was the Samaritan. It was the one that showed mercy. And Jesus then said, go and do thou likewise. The whole point of the conversation was to show the man, since he was talking about inheriting eternal life, if you're going to go by the law, if you're going to do something in order to obtain it, here's what the law requires. Love God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, your neighbor as yourself. If you know anything about yourself, you know you missed the mark terribly. You haven't come close to loving God with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, all your life, and everything you've done, all your actions, it's all been to the glory of God. You know you missed it, terribly missed it. And love your neighbor as yourself. You may think about two or three incidents along the way. Well, here's a place that I really did help somebody. I really did go out of my way. I did assist them. But you haven't come close to loving your neighbor as yourself. So the point was to the lawyer, it's going to take more than your action. It's going to take more than your personal qualifications. It's going to take the grace of God to save any soul, because they sin and violate the law of God and they stand in need of grace. But there's a practical lesson for us to learn, and that is, if we're sitting at Jesus' feet, if we're coming humbly before him, if we're learning from our great teacher, sitting at Jesus' feet, we learn to be compassionate. Further, when you sit at Jesus' feet, there is peace. What a peaceful place to be, sitting at Jesus' feet. John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is giving comfort to his disciples before he goes away. He knows that the time of his crucifixion is near and he'll be leaving them. But he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give. It's not the kind of peace the world gives. It's not just a temporary peaceful set of circumstances. It's a peace within. It's a peace that you can enjoy when everything seems to be out of place, when there's trouble, when there's difficulty, when there's things you can't understand. But you can have peace within because it's a peace that he gives. And he says, be not afraid. In chapter 16, John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's comforting, isn't it? Now, it's a fact. In the world, you shall have tribulation. If you expect anything else, you're going to be terribly disappointed and frustrated. Jesus has told you in advance. There are going to be trials. There are going to be disappointments. There are going to be difficulties. But he says, I have overcome the world. So if we're sitting at Jesus' feet, we're talking to the one who has overcome, one who has the power to lift us up, the grace to sustain us. Oh, we face a variety of tribulations in this world. Some of them weigh us down. You can physically feel the pressure. You feel like there's a heavy load, that it becomes difficult to get up and move and to put one foot forward and then the next. Some cause deep grief. The pain is hard to describe. Some seem to go on without an end. With some trials, when you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, you see that they're going to soon be concluded. Just, Lord, give me patience and grace and strength to get through it. But at other times, you can't see the end. You go to the promises of God. You know that He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know that, and yet you have to say, Lord, increase my faith. I want to embrace it. I know that only with Thy help can I be sustained? And He says, be not afraid. The psalmist said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. So even long before Jesus came, David's relationship with the Lord was of such that he knew in the times of my difficulty, in the times that I'm struggling, in the times that I'm afraid, what am I going to do? I'm going to trust in Thee. And then Jesus says, I'm the one to whom you must turn. It's my peace that I will give you. Be not afraid.
Let us keep in mind the words of Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. No matter what we encounter in life, no matter how difficult the times may be, He is one who has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. We find our strength and our help in Jesus Christ. I hope that you will write us this week. Until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.